you guys. It's Monday.
Yeah, we're doing Slithis. Slithis, this is some fucking ridiculous shit. this was recommended by our friend Angel. She was over here and she was talking about Slithis. Scared her when she was a kid.
Yeah, she said she saw it. If you weren't here yesterday, our friend Angel was here Saturday. And she said that she had seen this at the drive-in when she was a kid. And it had scared the crap out of her and gave her nightmares. But she hadn't seen it since then. And I told her, I said, that title sounds kind of familiar. And I saw it, so it was on Tubi. So I said, oh, we're gonna watch that and we're going to talk about it and see what scared little baby Angel.
It was filmed.
I couldn't really tell you.
Yeah. This movie was filmed where I was born in California. This is filmed where my mom grew up.
It's in Venice, California.
In Venice, California. Yeah. My mom went to Venice High and everything. Her family was from Virginia, but they moved there when my mom was a little girl and all her sisters. And I happened to be born there, but moved away, like, I guess in 1983, never went back. But this is the California I remember. Remember that architecture? I remember some of the filming locations where the oil refineries were. Well, they weren't really refineries. They were refining coke, which is like shale.
Yeah, not like cocaine. Not cocaine. Not the exciting stuff that you're thinking about.
And they had oil pumps out there and big old reserves for crude oil and fuel. Some of that shit blew up later on. Had a big old oil tanker blow up off the coast when I was a kid. I remember when that happened. It was like an atomic bomb going off. Boom! We were fucking 30 miles away and it busted out some of the windows on the damn block of where we lived. It was intense. I think that was like 1977 or 78. Been a long time. Knocked a Christmas tree over. We had a Christmas tree up. Christmas tree started to fall. My dad jumped up out of the damn out of the chair. He was watching TV. Boom! It went off and the fucking Christmas tree started falling and I was sitting on the ground and he jumped up and grabbed the Christmas tree. Standing right back and goes, what was that? Went outside and everybody was standing out there going, what the fuck was that? Some people had busted out windows. And a few minutes later on television, it showed a damn super tanker out on fire. Probably about 15 miles off the coast, Long Beach. 50 miles from us. It was intense. But I just, watching a movie kind of brought me back to that era and that place. But the movie itself, pretty fucking ridiculous. Pretty fucking ridiculous.
It is.
Basically, it's a nuclear version of fucking Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, you could tell, like, the director of this, whose name is, I think it's Steven Traxler. I think he only made one other movie. Murder Hornet pointed out, yeah, this goes by two titles. It's either Slithis, which is what it is if you see on Tubi, like, the title. But the actual movie is usually, like, its IMDb page. It's Spawn of the Slithis.
Yeah.
Which actually kind of makes more sense, but I don't know. What's either way. But, yeah, so...
We were recognizing the couches... All the decor, headboards, fucking Afghans, shit that your meemaw have, shit that your meemaw given to your mom and shit. Fucking just
all those,
just,
so many macrame planters, you guys.
Yeah. Man.
I know, every
going
time.
Going back in time.
Every time I see a movie that was made, this came out in 78, so it was made in 77.
Yeah.
So this was made for $100,000 in 1970s money. And it was made in less than 2 weeks. Okay, one thing I'm going to say, for a movie that only costs $100,000, the monster looks pretty good.
Yeah.
But you can tell that, I mean, they were really padding out
lots and lots of
the time.
Lots of conversations. Lots of sitting around talking about it. Kind of like
let's just sit around and talk about it.
Yeah, let's sit around and talk about it. Kind of like 50s sci-fi where they're on the phone in the office talking to somebody else on the phone in the office.
Well, yeah, it's like we can't afford to like show the monster like all this fucking...
Yeah, so let's just talk about it.
Yeah, so let's talk about how we're going to like solve the problem of the monster.
Yeah.
Do you know what movie this reminded me of? Speaking of the 50s monster movies, this movie, the premise of it, reminded me of Horror of Party Beach. Because in Horror of Party Beach, which actually I wouldn't recommend watching it on its own because it's terrible, but the Mystery Science Theater episode of it is good. It also had a thing where some oil company or something like that like dumped some fucking radioactive waste into, you know, the ocean or whatever. And the radioactive waste made it kind of like made all these little creatures like grow around skeletons and stuff and turned them into monsters. That's kind of like the same thing that's going on here. It's kind of like a radiation, it's a radioactive silt from a reactor, right? and then it gets in the water, and then it sort of like is sort of like organic but also inorganic. One of the scientists says at one point, I'm like, okay, those are two opposite things, but whatever. And it kind of like makes new organisms somehow.
Yeah, just make pulling shit out.
Yeah, it's just whatever technology is, whatever technology.
Pulling shit out their ass.
So this is kind of like Creature from the Black Lagoon / Horror of Party Beach, kind of. That's what it reminded me of.
The one shining moment of this movie is they introduce a character, and I'm going, I know that dude. I know that dude. And then, click, I recognized him. If you ever seen Blade Runner, when fucking Deckard goes to the damn nightclub to meet Rachel, he goes to Taffy Lewis's place, and he meets Taffy. It's up at the bar, and he goes, so, you ever buy snakes from the Egyptian? And fucking Taffy goes, what Taffy said? What to tell you, pal? You know, have a drink. But anyway, he's in this movie. The guy who played Taffy Lewis.
And he is chewing all the scenery.
That's right. And he's got a long fucking scene, one long scene where he fucking just...
Yeah, he's only
over
one scene
the top.
He's like a detective or something. He's like a cop or whatever.
Yeah.
And he is just... But honestly, like, as soon as his scene came on... He was just like... he's like... His eyes are rolling around and he's like really, overly, like, pronouncing everything. He's very kind of over the top. And I was just kind of like, yep, there he is. There's my favorite character.
Yeah. In this movie.
That actor's name is High Pike, by the way.
Yeah.
Remember, like, the guy that played the ship captain.
Yeah.
And you kept saying, where have I seen him? He wasn't in a lot, but he was in THX 1138. So that might be where you saw him before.
Yeah.
Because he kept looking at him going, God damn it, I know that dude. And
I thought he was the merchant marine captain in Raiders of the Lost Ark. The one is like, Dr. Jones, how much for the white woman? Remember him? You smelling her?
Yeah, kind of. I haven't seen that
movie
in a long
time. Tried to buy it.
I can't remember what he looked like.
She's not for sale. Yeah, I thought it was him, but it's not him.
Hey, step off. Don't be buying my girlfriend.
Well, they were at sea. You might have to try to buy a woman. You know, they're on international waters.
He's like, well, I thought I'd give it a whirl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
How much you want for the
can't
white
hurt.
Woman?
But yeah, so this movie, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like I said, the monster looks cool. It's kind of, it's a cool premise. I mean, it's a very... It's kind of like a 50s monster, like radioactive monster movie, like crossed with like a 70s ecological type thing. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
It kind of uses the kind of skeeziness of Venice in the 70s to its advantage. But I will say, a lot of the scenes are like really boring.
Yeah.
But interestingly, there's some weird shit in here too. Let's talk about this one scene. I mean, basically all it is... right around Venice, there's the first thing that happens is like a bunch of dogs turn up mutilated, and the cops are clueless and they just think, oh, it must be like the fucking, off-brand Manson family or something like that. It's ritualistic or whatever. But what ends up happening is that I guess like a couple people get killed and mutilated, and then this guy who is a high school journalism teacher. It's high school, right? He's a high school journalism teacher. His name's Wayne. And he is just over this whole teaching thing. He's like, why did I even get into teaching? I hate children. But, he doesn't say that. But he's kind of like, he doesn't like the students and he wants to get out of it. So he thinks if he can get to the bottom of what's actually going on with this story, then maybe he can do like a freelance thing and, I don't know, win a Pulitzer or whatever the fuck. Now, interestingly... So he thinks there's something else going on behind this other than, like, cult mutilations or whatever, because he talks to this bum that saw the monster, and there's, like, a whole thing. And so mostly it's about Wayne, the high school journalism teacher, doing an investigation into who's, like, killing and mutilating these dogs and then the people. Interestingly, he goes, like, when these two people get killed, he is able, like, pretty much, like, it's the next morning, right? I don't think they tell you that it's not the next, like, after the murder happened. He goes to the house where these two people got killed. No crime scene tape, no police presence, no nothing. He just, like, walks into the fucking house and starts poking around at the fucking crime scene. There's just, like, blood all over the floor and everything, and I'm just kind of like, okay. And so he finds this weird mud or something, like, at the crime scene. So he takes it to, I guess, a science teacher at the same high school whose name is Dr. John, and kind of looks like Jim Henson a little bit. And he talks real funny too. He talks like a human wouldn't talk. I don't know. It's hard to explain. He talks kind of like, Oh, he talks kind of like a high school student's term paper. He talks like that. So I guess they were like, that's how a smart person talks, I guess, because he's supposed to be a scientist. So the scientist does an analysis on this silt and then does some kind of like digging. And everybody finds out information like really easily in this movie. And he's like, oh, yeah, back in like Wisconsin or wherever the hell, there was this radioactive shit or like a nuclear power plant meltdown or something. And it got in the water and it made this stuff called slithis. And it's like top secret. And it's kind of like this mud, but it makes... It can make organisms, but they're like, well, so far it wasn't anything, like it didn't make monsters or anything like that. It just made like other little bitty or whatever. But apparently now there's like this big fucking monster running around. So it's basically just kind of like Wayne investigating, like going and interviewing bums, going and talking to the science teacher. And inexplicably, Wayne's girlfriend, wife? Girlfriend, I guess. Her name is Jeff. And, well, because at first... They said her name, and we had the closed captioning on, because I'm deaf, right? So, I was like, I thought that he said Jess or something. And then I was like, wait, it's on there it says Jeff. I'm like, is her name Jeff? And Tom's like, no, it's Jess or something. But no, her name is absolutely Jeff. And they don't really explain, they just make kind of like a funny comment about it, like... You know, why is this like this? And then, you know, the scientist says to her, well, why did your parents name you Jeff? And I'm just kind of like, okay. I mean, I kind of feel like they could have done more with that joke. I'm not really sure where that came from.
as I was watching it, I think most of the dialogue is ad-libbed. Because they were all, if you didn't
it
notice,
might be, yeah.
they were goofing on the dialogue while they were giving the dialogue.
They were, yeah.
And then dudes would just pull a joke out of their ass, but it'd be pretty good. It's because guys goofing on the movie as they're making it. It's just a bunch of scenes strewn together.
They weren't really taking it seriously.
Yeah. And they were like, well, what has to happen in this scene is this and that. And they're just kind of ad-libbing it. It kind of worked. It's just kind of like a movie that you'd make with your friends.
Yeah.
And then have a monster in it. I don't want to say they weren't taking it seriously. The quality of it, the way it's filmed, is pretty good. But for 78. You know what I mean? I've seen much worse. It's just... I think the script was kind of flexible. They're just driving around to
that's
their friends.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. They're just driving around to different locations and putting their friends in this movie and trying to make it into a story. I got to say that the locations are pretty good, though. They'll, you know, pretty nice interiors from houses from the 70s. Some of it looks like stuff from, I don't know, might have been in a shopping mall or a hotel, some of it. It's just a scene movie. You can tell it's made by friends. Like, let's make this movie.
Yeah.
And they're in the movie business. Like, okay. It's like that.
I kind of feel like it, you know, and like I said, for a $100,000 movie, the monster suit actually looks pretty good. You don't get to see much of it until the end. Like, you see it a little bit in the beginning, but then, you know, you don't really get to see it until, like, the third act. Can we talk about this extended sequence? Because... As I said, it's mostly about Wayne, and it's kind of about his investigation. So it's mostly him going and talking to people and, like, finding out information. You know, he charters a boat, and they go out and take soil samples and all this other stuff. So, like I said, it kind of reminded me of Horrors of Party Beach in that way, which is just a lot of people, like, walking around. But it has that. But then there's this one bizarre sequence, and it's pretty long. It's, like, 10 minutes or something. And it's two characters that have not been in the movie previously and obviously won't be in it after because they get killed. Spoiler alert. But, so I mean, they're just lining up for cannon fodder, I guess. So they set it up. It's this kind of skeezy old dude with the wonderful clothing combination, you know, because the 70s. His slacks, are they salmon pink?
I don't know.
Kind of felt like they were salmon pink. And then he had one of those, like, kind of brown leather jackets that were all the rage back then. Older dude, he's probably in his 40s. He's at this bar where they're inexplicably having a turtle race.
Oh, yeah. Remember this now.
One of the turtles is wearing a cocktail umbrella on its back.
Right.
This is not explained. So they have...
They had one.
So they have all these turtle races at this bar. And this older dude picks up this girl who's 18 and she's visiting... And they're going to go back to his boat that he lives on.
This is the best one. Yeah, this is the best part of the movie.
Yeah, and like I said, these people, and he has a pretty sweet blue VW bug, going to say that.
Yeah. He's living in a marina.
Yeah.
In California, like Marina Del Mar and Marina Del Rey, people that owned boats and kept them at the marina would rent them out as like little apartments, all right? And they weren't cheap, depending on the side of what kind of boat it was, but a lot of times it was cheaper than an apartment. And they had parking lots there, and usually like a communal bathroom and shower. People would take showers like you were going to the beach. They had people living like that. And this is how this guy's living. But what's great is that he thinks he's this fucking slick fucking
He's quite a Lothario.
Yeah. I would say he's not 40s. He's probably more like mid-30s. It's just he just
I think they older. I yeah, they looked older back then. He looks a little weathered.
Yeah, he's probably 35. A lot of it's the facial hair. And the hair that they had kind of made you look older. But what was great is that he takes this young thing to his fucking marina to get up into his boat. And the dude fucking, his version of fucking foreplay, fucking, it didn't last very long, I'll tell you that. But he had next to the fucking bed a picture of himself.
It's like a black and white. The side of it.
Yeah, he's got a shrine to himself.
Next to where the wine goes.
And he sits her next to his shrine to himself, and they start drinking wine, paying homage to a picture of himself. It was fucking great, man. It was fucking great.
When as soon as fucking I saw great. That, like they walked in, because that wasn't where the bed was. I think that was the couch.
It was the couch upstairs on the fucking right. Up on the berth, and then they went down below where the bedroom was.
Yeah, so they come in the couch, the monster attack. He's making out with like this 18-year-old girl, and he takes off. Well, the best thing too, one of the best things, he takes that brown leather jacket off, and there's kind of like one of those white. Not a poet shirt exactly, because those are frilly, but one of those like 70s kind of, you know, deals. And he had that on, and I look over and I'm just like, there's this little table with like, and he lights the candles, and I'm like, is that his 8x10? Is that his headshot? Was that what he was sending out like to auditions?
Yeah.
And they framed it and it's on the table.
It's literally a I Love Me picture.
And I told Tom, I'm like, Tom.
Yeah,
I need to have a black and white 8x10 of you, and I said, I need you to frame it and put it on the nightstand next to your side of
the
bed.
That'd be fucking funny.
And then put candles on either side of it.
Whenever I start talking shit, I pull this fucking picture out of me and put it next to me and light two candles and talk about me. That would be funny. I started laughing.
I mean, you totally should do that.
Yeah, it'd be hilarious.
I mean, yeah.
And to put on like a white 70s shirt, one of those fucking things like you know what I mean? They had, it was almost looked like a fucking, some kind of like a Mexican Pueblo type looking shirt with the damp. Remember how they had it?
Yeah, it was like that.
The slit on the sides.
Yeah. And
they lace in the front.
What were those
like
called?
That. And then some of them had a damn hood. And then the sleeves came out and they
I feel like there was embroidery on there too, was there?
They were woven, like woven cotton or woven wool, depending on if it was if it was for cold weather.
You need some kind of like smoked sunglasses.
Yeah, it looked like something a damn Mexican friar would wear, like when he's at the fucking, he's at the mission,
And you can wear
ringing the bell and bing bing.
And you can wear your Michael Caine slash Willy Wonka wig.
Yeah,
that's So you need to have that wig on and smoked sunglasses in this hypothetical picture. And yeah, we're doing this. We're gonna put it. It'd be funnier.
We're not gonna do this. She's just letting herself. We're not gonna do this.
It would be funnier if it was like next to the bed, but obviously you can't really see it like on the show. So I kind of feel like we'd have to put it in the background, and then we, on special occasions, we can light the candles next to it and like have a glass of wine and be like, we're saluting like Tom's I Love Me picture. I was just kind of like, can you imagine being that girl? And this older dude picks you up at the turtle races, as, sometimes happens. We've all been there, ladies. And no, we haven't. And so you get in his sweet blue VW bug. He takes you out to his boat that he lives on. And you go in there, and he's like, hey, baby, want a drink? And we're going to start to make out. And then I'm like, wait, is that a picture of you?
Yeah.
Is that a shrine to you? Bye. I'm out.
It actually, there's some truth to it. Growing up in that area from that time, a lot of people put I Love Me fucking shit up. They would have pictures of themselves doing things, and they would put them in frames and hang them bitches up in their houses.
Yeah,
I get... Them doing things, them fucking skiing, and them where they went for vacation. Which I guess it's not strange to have pictures like that. You want to have... But the idea of kind of like today, I think would be kind of tacky. To put that shit into a frame and hang it up so your guests can see it. Look where I've been. Who gives a fuck where you've been?
Well, the thing about it, I kind of feel like it's less weird if it's... You know, because I never knew anybody that had, because you see this in movies sometimes, especially movies from, like, from the 70s and 80s. Like, they'll go into a character's bedroom and, like, you know, it's a young woman or whatever, and she's putting her makeup on in the mirror, and then you see that there's, like, an 8x10 of herself.
Yeah.
And, a portrait, like, fucking glamour shots or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I never knew anybody that did that.
I think I did.
I knew people that had pictures.
I think people that did that kind of shit.
I mean, I knew people that had pictures of, like, them and their friends.
Yeah.
Or, like you said, like, action shots.
Yeah.
Like, you know, here's me and my family, like, in, you know, at the Grand Canyon or something. That's not weird. But having, like, a glamour portrait of yourself.
I remember girls having pictures
on
of themselves.
Your
I remember girls
bedside and, table seems a little strange to
I
me.
I remember girls having pictures of themselves around their, you know, fucking little things they put makeup on and shit. But that was, like, high school stuff.
Yeah, that seems a little strange to me.
Yeah.
But so that's why I thought it was so funny, and I just laughed and laughed.
But it wasn't just them. It was like pictures of a bunch of other people. But they might have like one of their a photo that from one of the like yearbook type photo or something up, you know.
Yeah.
Like you said, glamour shot bullshit. They'd put that up.
Yeah.
But
I mean, if it's like a bunch of...
It's kind of funny when you think about it.
It is.
But it was just the culture of the time. I guess they were just doing it because other people would do it.
I just, yeah.
It's I Love Me picture.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But that's why I laughed so hard, like, when I saw this dude's thing, because I said, if I, like, went to a dude's house and then and he had that, I just think that would be, like, super fun. And then women, he lights the candles, like, very deliberately.
Those women would get their fucking glamour shot stuff, not to give those fucking photos away. They gave them away, but that's not why they got them. They got them so they could have them.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I gave most of mine away and then put the rest of mine in the
I never had any of that shit done.
Well, you have. Well, I mean,
I had a lot of photographs to be taken, but never went to any kind of damn photography.
No, I didn't
studio,
do that either. But
studio.
I mean, no, we. But the senior photos, though, they came to the school and
that's
did
not
that.
What I'm talking about. I'm talking about. Remember back in the 80s and even the 70s, they had studios you could go to.
It was in a mall.
Yeah, malls or some of them were.
Yeah, I never had that done. Yeah, I had senior pictures, but everybody had senior pictures. They came and did them for free. You had to pay for them. Like you didn't have to buy them, but they.
That,
yeah.
It was funny. It's like from another era. That's another culture, long gone.
Yeah.
Back when photography was hard to do.
Fourth Row Down says, is that like for people who can't afford mirrors on the ceiling?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was.
Errol Flynn's mirror on Errol Flynn's ceilings was two-way. All his buddies would stand up there and watch him fucking bang these broads. Underage ones.
That's
imagine
nice.
That.
Well, you know, I don't have to.
Errol Flynn, man.
Yeah, well.
Him and his cocaine. He'd hang out at the marina too, evidently. He'd take them underage girls out on the damn boat.
Just like this dude was
just
doing.
Like
she wasn't. Now, to be fair, she wasn't underage. She was 18. Although he was kind of like he was wondering because he's kind of like you look really young.
Yeah.
He's like he still picked her up anyway from the turtle races. Like I said, that's where they never told you that. Like you know, if you're looking for somebody to like go meet people, go to the turtle races at the bar.
Look, we're making this movie out into a good story. This is not a good movie.
It's ridiculous. And to be honest with you, it's funny. It was like entertaining, but I have to say, well, sort of. A lot of it was actually just really boring.
Just kind
of
boring, right?
Although some of it was so goofy that I was entertained. Like those kind of scenes were funny.
Yeah, well, a lot of it, my mind would start wandering, and I'd check my phone and shit. And then it'd get back to being the movie.
Yeah, and it's not that long. It's only like 85 minutes or something, but some of it seemed to kind of drag. Because like I said, the character of Wayne was kind of like a nobody, nothing, and so he was kind of dull. So you know, with his fucking Mac Davis hair and whatever, and he's just going doing this investigation. So like I said, he's just like walking around Venice, like talking to bums, and you know, hey, did you see the monster? And you know, it was just kind of like it was kind
of
dull.
Best part of the movie for me was just seeing Southern California in fucking 78.
Now it got cool at the end. It got cool at the end when they were on the boat and then the monster like rampages. And actually there was a good scene where the monster like beats the shit out of the car that Jeff and the scientist are in. And like knocks the doors off and everything. And so we forgot because one thing that Angel had mentioned, she's the one that that put me onto this movie. She said that the monster it ate your insides out. And I was just kind of like, so the whole movie, I'm sitting there going, I thought like we were going to see some like insides, you know, getting eaten or whatever. But that doesn't really happen until the end. So some of that was like pretty good for 1978, super low budget. And like I said, it's not shot like it's not like, you know, Mano's Hands of Fate or anything like that.
No,
like where it just looks like it was shot out of someone's asshole or something. It actually looks like professionally shot. And I've heard, I don't know about the print that's on, because we watched it on Tubi. I watched another review of it, and they've apparently put it out. I don't know if it's out on Blu-ray, but they have put it out on DVD. Like, it was part of, like, a collection of, like, Lost Drive-In Classics or whatever. And they said, actually, the print on there looks pretty nice. So whoever shot it knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not...
I think they were film students.
It's not... Yeah, it's not incompetent.
No.
It's more... Like I said, it seemed like the suit looked cool for the budget. It just seemed like they were trying to pad it out, like they didn't have enough story, and it wasn't as compelling. And, you know, the acting wasn't fantastic.
They tried to put all their friends in it to help their careers. These are people from the movie business making this. They knew what they were doing. It's just that they didn't have any money.
Yeah.
Fourth drawer down asked a good question. I wonder if this is where Ridley Scott got the idea for the black goop. I'd say no. No, because the... I guess you could say the idea of things that are just kind of spawned from toxic waste was an ongoing theme of the 70s, you know, like going back to Food of the Gods and what was the other one? The Land That Time Forgot. There was some of that stuff where life was being spawned out of the dam.
Well, like I said, there was some from the 50s, too.
Yeah,
I thought of Horror Party Beach, which had almost the same premise as this, or a similar premise. Yeah.
The black goo from Ridley Scott's is fucking... It's explained what it is in the leaked script before everything got all the good shit got edited out of Prometheus, unfortunately. But the black goo was a damn biotechnology that the engineers made because they ran out of the blood. They had this blood of a creature that was got crossbred with a damn engineer, and that blood could evidently reboot life, like it was like a mutagen. And they were trying to reproduce. Because the engineers could no longer reproduce. They gave up gender for immortality, but immortality wasn't working out, so they tried to restore gender and restore biological reproduction. They were trying to do it by rebooting themselves on these other planets from the very beginning, from scratch, like starting a process of evolution. But they ran out of the original blood, and they tried to make a synthetic copy of the blood, which was the black goo. Didn't work, though. And they all died out. They died out killing each other over the earth because humans were kind of corrupted. Their DNA wasn't any good. And they started fighting amongst themselves. Some of them wanted to destroy Earth. And other ones wanted to just let it go and let nature take its course. And then there were some other planets where they had some stuff brewing too, which is shown in the movies. Like that... In the second one, the Alien Covenant, they show another planet, and it looks like the engineers, but if you look closely, it's not the engineers. It's another version of mankind that they built. But, okay, go ahead. That's all I want to say.
Kana Vatsan says, hey guys, have you ever seen Creature from 1985? It's not that bad. Special effect dudes that worked on this movie also did Alien, as I recall. Yeah, I think I did see that. I remember it not being great, but not being that terrible. Yeah, I've seen it. Tammy says, so I guess my large black velvet portrait is now tacky.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you.
Yeah.
Then Camp Guy says, only tacky if it's Elvis and hanging over the old-time electric Hammond organ in your living room. Oh, my God. Yeah, my grandfather had an organ as well. And I could play it when I was a kid. I'm pretty rusty now, but yeah, I used to be able to play it. Strawdog78 says, if you go to Tombstone, Arizona, you can get a photo of yourself dressed in Wild West garb. Actually, you can get that if you,
you
go
get
to
that anywhere.
Well, yeah, if you go to St. Augustine, you can. They have Wild West. They have like Victorian. You know, they can do all those old timey photographs.
I haven't seen it in a long time, though. Out of fashion now.
I mean, you can still do it. I think it's expensive, though. Like, because I always kind of like, oh, I want to do like a Victorian one, but I was like, eh, too expensive. I can't afford it. Because they charge, because they dress you all up and do your hair and shit like that. So
yeah,
I understand.
It costs $100 to get the shit done.
I think it's more than that, even. Yeah. And then, like, then you have to pay for the pictures, like, separate. But yeah, so I was struggling. I mean, the whole time I was watching this, it's weird because when you're a little kid, I was trying to, like, imagine when it was that Angel saw this. This movie came out in 1978. Angel's the same age as me. So I'm assuming that she probably saw this, because usually drive-in movies, that didn't they usually come to the drive-in like a little bit later, like maybe a year later or something? So I'm assuming she was maybe only 6 or 7 when she saw this movie, maybe slightly older.
Things were released in the drive-in.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. But so, I don't know. So she might have been, you know, maybe 7 years old when she saw this. And I can see this scaring you when you're seven, because there were some, I mean, the monster is kind of scary, and the, it does, like, eat your, you know.
It left bodies.
It left bodies that were all, like, kind of fucked up looking, yeah. And, like, it just eats your intestines out and stuff. Yeah. But watching it now, it's just, like, it's so bad, and it's just, like, so ridiculous. Yeah. But it's always interesting to me what scares you when you're a little kid, and then you see it later and being like, what the fuck was I even...
Oh, when I was a little kid, giant spider invasion scared the shit out of me.
And that movie's awful.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite part is when that, like, hit gets stuffed up that giant spider's butt.
And they had to take me out of Piranha.
When that Piranha kind of scared me,
when
too.
When hand started getting eaten up by the piranhas, yeah. I fucking lost it. My dad says, okay, we're going.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what's weird. When I was really little, you know the song Monster Mash? You know, at the beginning of it, there's like a cauldron bubbling noise?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that noise scared the absolute crap out of me. Not the song, just that sound effect. I liked the song, actually, but I always had to leave the room, like, for the first... And I don't know why. I still can't explain it.
That's funny.
I don't really know, like, why that scared me so much. But I don't know if it was like some kind of weird frequency that was like glitching my brain out, or I don't know. I've tried to figure it out and I can't figure it out. But you know, so I could see if you saw this movie when you were seven and weren't really expecting it. You know, everything's like a lot scarier when you're a kid, and you kind of forget like all the boring shit that happens in between because you're not really sure what's going on.
This movie was just an excuse to get your friends on screen to help them get other jobs, and then you sell the shit. And then the drive-ins bought it for the excuse that you had to have something to play, because in these days, a drive-in was really just a motel for teenagers. That's all it was.
Well, yeah, so it didn't really matter if the movie was good, because no one was really watching it anyway.
Fucking bouncing in the back and fucking just hitting it. Fucking legs sticking out, people throwing joints from one car to the next, smoking joints, high-fiving your buddy in the car next to you. That's the way it was. So that it was just an excuse. You just had to tell your parents, well, we got to see this movie. Yeah, sure. Go to the movie and just park. It was safer than parking on some lover's lane somewhere and having fucking Son of Sam blow you away.
Yeah, or the Zodiac. Or the Phantom Killer of Texarkana. There were a lot of those, creepily. Somebody said Humanoids from the Deep was good. Yeah, I actually really like Humanoids from the Deep. Actually, there was a moment in this, the 18-year-old girl, like when she gets killed... I kind of feel like you couldn't really tell because it was kind of murky, but we even said this. This is the sole nudity in this movie. You just get to see the girl's tit for a second.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, is that monster raping that girl? It kind of looked like it.
Yeah. But then they wanted you to think that.
But then he just because he was kind of like, you know, humping on
that's
her.
That's probably where they got the idea for humanoids from the deep.
And that's what because I was like, is he going all humanoids on the the deep of her now, like on her now? But then he just like eats all of her guts out. But it's just kind of like, I don't know. Now, and I kind of hope Angel sees this and that she rewatches the movie, because maybe, I don't know, maybe she thought it was so scary back the whole day she didn't want to watch it. I'm like, seriously, just watch it. It's like, it's really, really bad. It's not that bad. I've seen like way worse. Like I said, it's competently made. The monster actually looks pretty cool, but you know, it's mostly just like a bunch of exposition scenes.
Yeah, it's boring.
And bad dialogue.
Yeah.
That's all. But you know, good title though.
Yeah.
Good poster. So 70s. The monster on the poster, that's not really exactly what the monster looks like. Sort of. The chesta region does kind of look like that. But
the chesticles.
The chesticles.
Okay, look, I can't talk anymore about this.
Tom's getting cranky.
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting fussy.
There's nothing to this movie.
He's getting fussy.
I'm getting fussy.
But, I mean, if you want to watch it, just, you know, have a few drinks and, you know, get a six-pack and watch it. It's on Tubi for free, so... You know, doesn't even cost anything. But check it out and let me know what you think. And thank you, Angel, for the recommendation. I hope you'll watch it again and explain to me why this scared you so much. It was an interesting watch. Anyway, I think tonight we're going to watch Pandorum. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. So thanks, everybody, for dropping by and hanging out with us this afternoon. And have a good rest of your day. And we will see you again tomorrow afternoon.